Thank you. Thank you so much for coming today. This has been an amazing process that we've been involved in. For the past 3 years, this legislature has been vetting what will be the most significant rewrite of the criminal code since 1979. Before we even got to start vetting the process, however, though, the Missouri Bar, as well as prosecutors, public defenders, and the criminal defense bar from across the state spent over 4 years looking at this piece of legislation. I'm excited to stand here today with a group of people who have worked very long and hard to put this forward, and there are very important reasons that I'm going to let them explain to you why we need to do this now and why we think that this General Assembly is poised to finally get this thing passed and moved on to the governor's desk at this time. We'll be taking questions at the end of the press conference, and I will now turn it over to Representative Stanley Cox.
Thank you. I guess I would say that I had the opportunity to at least attend a few of the meetings of the Bar Committee, and quite frankly, my confidence in the product here is really based upon that experience, believing these people were doing just what they represented they were doing, trying to make a coherent code and not doing something more devious or what some people might believe. I'm certainly it's my pleasure to be the House sponsor of this important legislation, and I remain optimistic that we will be successful, and appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
Well, as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I can tell you that one of my highest priorities is to facilitate a strong and effective criminal justice system, one that protects the lives, liberty, and property of all of our citizens. We need to deal justly, and we need to deal swiftly with those who commit crimes, especially crimes that are violent against our citizens. A clear, concise, and understandable criminal code provides judges, prosecutors, and public defenders with the tools they need to deal effectively with violent offenders. Just last week, the Senate spent hours crafting legislation to address the school transfer issue. In previous years, we've dedicated lengthy debate to equally weighty issues like economic development and tax reform. I certainly would expect that my colleagues will devote the same time and attention to a long overdue revision of the state's criminal laws. This product is the result of almost 20 public hearings here in Jefferson City and outside the Capitol, hours of testimony, and again, I would certainly expect the same scrutiny on the floor from my dedicated and deliberative colleagues. We're very pleased, and I want to especially thank Senator Justice and Representative Cox for their leadership on this issue.
Go ahead. I'm Jack Brady, the current president of the Missouri Bar, and I just want to reiterate what Senator Dixon said and thank Senator Justice, Representative Cox, and Senator Dixon for their leadership and sponsorship of these bills in the House and Senate. You know, it's been a long time, 35 years, since the code was first reorganized, and that's what we need to do with it right now, is get it reorganized. There's been a lot of bills that have been passed since then that create some inconsistencies, and that's what we're doing. We're just reorganizing the bills, and I want to thank all of the lawyers in the state, prosecutors, public defenders who have worked so hard. It's taken 4 years to get it to the legislature, and now we've had 3 years at the legislature. I think the time has come to pass the bill, and I thank everybody for their support.
I am Matt Selby. I'm the president of the Missouri Association of Prosecuting Attorneys, and MAPA is an organization that is made up of the 115 elected prosecutors in the state of Missouri. And this criminal code revision that is in front of the General Assembly at this time, as the other persons have said, it modernizes antiquated statutes, it consolidates duplicative statutes, and it brings new tools for prosecutors to use so that we can successfully prosecute cases and do what is right in every case, in every situation. It gives us more tools. And MAPPA endorses this revision, and we support this revision because it promotes public safety. It promotes public safety. And there are several examples of that that a few of my fellow prosecutors and members of some of our victim advocacy organizations would like to talk about. So, Steve.
I'm Steve Sokoloff, prosecutor in Dunklin County and a member of the bar committee that drafted this. One of the things that is of significance is that the new code revision takes the strongest approach to assault crimes in Missouri's history. Those who commit violent felonies will have their punishments increased on second and subsequent offenses, as opposed to a third offense under the current law. And we believe that this will help us, as Matt said, give us more tools to effectively prosecute and deal justly with those who commit offenses against the citizens of our state.
It's my privilege to endorse the criminal code revision bill on behalf of the member programs of the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. Victims rely on clarity in law as they seek justice through our court system. The revisions in the criminal code bill advance that work to ensure that victims of crime are afforded safety and justice, and that offenders are held accountable. The process has been very inclusive throughout the drafting of the criminal code revisions to ensure that the voices of victims of crime and their advocates are included, and that our concerns were addressed in the bill. While I have great nostalgia for the music of the 70s, I think that we all benefit from laws that are drafted to be of the present day. And I believe that many, many people have worked very diligently and with great expertise to ensure that our laws are effective in 2014.
I'm Jennifer Joyce. I'm the circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis. And one of the saddest things you have to do as an elected prosecutor is meet with a family who has a member who's been killed by a drunk driver. And typically that person is an innocent victim, literally just minding their own business, and they're taken from their family. And one of the things that's so important about this criminal code revision is that it sends a powerful message to people who decide to drink and drive. Currently, the maximum amount that you can get for killing someone by driving drunk is 7 years. Under this criminal code revision, that would be increased significantly, and they would have to spend a decade in prison. And I think that would send a strong message to people who are considering that conduct, and it also would provide more of a measure of comfort and justice to the victim's family that they left behind.
My name is Emily Van Shankoff, and I'm the Deputy Director at Missouri Kids First. We're a statewide organization that works to address and prevent child abuse, and I represent the state's 15 child advocacy centers. This is one of the most important bills being considered by the Missouri General Assembly, and I want to say very clearly that our state's most vulnerable citizens, our children, have been protected and prioritized in the criminal code process. I want to give a big thank you to Representative Cox, to Senator Justice, and to Senator Dixon, and for all members of the General Assembly for ensuring that no penalties for individuals who harm children have been rolled back in the revision of the code. One of the things that we are the most proud of in this bill is a provision that adds incest as an aggravating factor in sex offenses. The traditional aggravating factors are things such as use of a deadly weapon, serious physical injury, committing the offense as part of a ritual or ceremony. And these are not typically things that are found in cases of child sexual abuse. But incest is something that happens in a lot of child sexual abuse. And in fact, 2/3 of children who are seen in child advocacy centers were abused by a relative. It is time for the Missouri's criminal code to reflect an updated understanding of the nature of sexual offending. These changes could affect hundreds and thousands of cases in the future that will allow us for increased penalties for those who harm children, increased prison time, and ultimately increase safety for Missouri's children. I strongly, strongly urge the General Assembly to come together to analyze this bill and to do the right thing and to pass this bill. Our children will be safer as a result of it.
Good afternoon. My name is Dean Dankelson. I'm the Jasper County Prosecuting Attorney. I want to follow up a little bit of what my colleague Jennifer Joyce said a minute ago, and one of the other issues of public safety with drunken driving is not just those who are in a wreck and injure or kill somebody, but those who do it and get caught by law enforcement before they get the opportunity to do so. A couple of years ago, this legislature enacted a bill which put a graduated system in place for drunk drivers. For first time is a B misdemeanor, the second time an A misdemeanor, and for each subsequent offense, the penalty increases. This new criminal code takes that one step further. With the addition of another level of felony offenses, if you are a habitual offender, you have been through a DWI court, you have been through treatment, but you just don't learn your lesson that drinking and driving is a crime, the last time and the sixth and subsequent times, you will now be an A felony and subject to 85% time as a dangerous offender. So the other issue of public safety with drunk drivers is those who just don't learn their lesson and fortunately do not get involved in a wreck and injure or kill somebody, but still need to be dealt with because they just don't learn their lesson.
Good afternoon. I am Eric Zond. I am the immediate past president of the Missouri Association of Prosecuting Attorneys. I want to acknowledge Missouri's prosecutors who are here with us today. As Matt Selby already mentioned, this is a priority piece of legislation for MAP, and let me tell you why. I've had the privilege of serving as Platt County Prosecuting Attorney for the last 11 years. Not only has the criminal code not been revised during that 11-year period, the fact of the matter is, the last time it was revised, I was 11 years old. It's time for this code to be updated. Let me talk about one last provision of this code that will do tremendous things for victims of crime in Missouri, and that is its provisions relating to child sexual abuse. In this revised criminal code, we will have four different classes of child molestation crimes, all of them felonies. Under today's law, there are only two classes. One of those is merely a misdemeanor. This revised criminal code will give prosecutors the tools we need to go after those who would abuse Missouri's most vulnerable citizens, and those are our children. I urge anyone who would stand with crime victims, anyone who would stand in favor of public safety in the state of Missouri, to vote yes on this bill. With that, I'll turn things back over to Senator Justice.
I think we'll open it up to questions at this time. First of all, I want to make it clear that there is no decriminalization of anything in this code, and nothing is less of a crime. There are only crimes, which we're now going to be referring to as offenses once this code passes, but there is no making something less a crime. A crime is a crime is a crime. Relating to the actual penalty provisions, there are shifts in the penalty provisions, and we are looking at those closely. You will, over the debate that we have here in the Senate over the next few days, hopefully, be hearing about some of those in particular, but there is no place in the crime code that we are actually decriminalizing anything. There are provisions within the bill right now that would look at first-time possession of marijuana as a Class D misdemeanor. A Class D misdemeanor is a crime. A Class D misdemeanor comes with a penalty. The first offense would not come with a with a jail sentence at this time. That would be a change. The reason that we're doing this is exactly what you just said. We are doing this because we need to make sure that we are not just tough on crime in this state. We need to make sure that we are smart on crime in this state. And the one of the things that we have found is that when you send someone to the Department of Corrections, their chance of reoffending once they get out increases exponentially. So what we are trying to do is make sure for those first-time nonviolent offenders that we are sentencing them correctly so that we have the ability to make sure that we are sentencing persistent prior offenders, violent criminals, to a longer stay. It's as is. There is no mandatory sentencing like you would see on a federal level.
We expect debate rather soon. I don't want to give you a specific time. That is the call of the floor leader. But I want to further follow up on the question that was asked. It would make sense, it would stand to reason that we would put into the law the option of further disciplinary action when someone does not get the message the first time. And that's what we're trying to do here. With respect to the marijuana offenses, one of the considerations that we looked at was the automatic assignment of a public defender. Many times for a first-time offense, jail time is not part of the sentence. That's not part of the process right now, even though that is an option. So by reducing that first-time offense only on possession to fee only, and reducing the automatic jail time, we are preventing the, we're eliminating that automatic public defender assignment if it was a case where someone was indigent. So to me, I think this just underscores the what we said at the beginning of this press conference, and that was we want to be effective throughout the criminal code, and then at the same time offer greater disciplinary action when someone fails to get the message. And we all know that happens, and I'm very pleased with this product, I have to say.
Could I interject on that subject? In full disclosure, there are some differences between the House version and the Senate version. Specifically, I did not include this change of the misdemeanor, marijuana, and some other changes in regard to drug offenses, believing that it's not necessarily appropriate to take that up in a complex bill. That being said, or a complex and big bill, that being said, I'm certain these differences can be reconciled in the process and will be resolved favorably.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually not out of rules yet. We're waiting for action by the Rules Committee.
The biggest hang-up at this point is the size of the bill. There is no question that there are people that have concerns about their ability to read and synthesize all of the information within the bill. That's why we have spent an extraordinary amount of time as a legislature vetting this bill. It's been filed for 3 years now. In addition to that, we've had nearly 20 public hearings statewide. 16 of those, I believe, were held in this room alone. We have had a portal open, thanks to the office of Senator Dixon and his amazing staff, to the public on the internet for over a year now to take in public information and testimony on that. And so I believe, Bob, that probably the biggest issue that we're going to have is explaining to people that this is something that is necessary, and it is something that they don't need to be fearful of, that we have read this bill multiple times, that we have thoroughly vetted the bill. And so I think that'll be the biggest issue that we face on the Senate side, at least.
Why not do this in smaller chunks rather than having War and Peace, whatever the lawmakers read,
why we did it this way is I assume that the committees and certainly the House and the Senate committees worked upon the product of the bar committee, the idea of having some sort of division of it, I don't know even if that was discussed, but the point is we have reached this point, and it is not a bill that is divisible in any timely manner. I mean, that committee could take it over for the next couple years and redo it into four pieces. I'm sure they're very capable people to do it, but the problem is that it just doesn't fit that as something that could be done in a committee of the House or the Senate. And if it could be done readily, we could do it, but it would take much more work than there possibly is going to occur between now and the 16th of May. We actually passed this bill last year. We had took what we passed the House version last year and added 16 amendments in committee, or 14 amendments in committee. There could possibly be on the House side a floor amendment, but I have not yet discovered a reason for it.
Well, as I said before, it's for the most part, it's not relearning. It's reorganizing and consolidating and bringing things up to date. The differences aren't that great, and there is an extra class of felonies. There'll now be five classes instead of four, but the laws that are in those classes are the same laws that we currently enforce. It just gives us more tools to make the punishment fit the crime better. So I don't think there'll be any sort of great learning curve for prosecutors. And the thing I'll just point out, too, that all these people standing behind me, other than right here, are members of our organization. These are all elected prosecutors, and we're standing here today because we stand behind the code and asking the General Assembly to pass it.
Well, thank you all for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.